The information presented has not been evaluated or approved by the FDA. Its intent is not to diagnose, treat, or cure disease or replace medical advice. The opinions expressed by the practitioner are not necessarily those of WELY. This show is for educational purposes only. WELY and the practitioner assume no responsibility with respect to the use of the information.
Good evening and welcome to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. I want to thank you for joining me this evening, and for those who are listening in for the first time, my name is Sonia Jewell and I'm a natural therapeutic specialist and whole food nutritionist at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center right here in Ely. I have been a health practitioner for 22 years and it is my pleasure to be with you every Wednesday evening during this hour to talk about various health topics, nutrition and safe and natural alternatives as well as healthier lifestyle choices. Today's show is devoted to the emerging public health issue of excessive exposure to electromagnetic radiation. Unfortunately, it is getting to be very difficult to participate in society without a cell phone, computer, Wi-Fi, and all the latest gadgets that supposedly make life and business easier. The telecommunication industry has also convinced people through its advertising that owning smartphones, cordless phones, and Wi-Fi-enabled devices are a necessity and a normal part of life. Now, as infatuating as this type of technology can be to all of us, the health ramifications cannot be ignored. We are seeing increasing numbers of people suffering the very real effects of electrohypersensitivity. Electromagnetic radiation and pollution is invisible and is usually not felt at the time of exposure, and many people therefore mistakenly assume that it isn't a major health factor. Unfortunately, evidence about the damaging effects of electromagnetic radiation exposure upon DNA, the immune system, and other parts of the body hasn't been widely published in the mainstream media. The US government has also set extremely high limits for EMR exposure, which far exceed what scientists who don't profit from EMR industries deem to be safe. For all of these reasons, we are falsely led to believe that this type of pollution isn't a real big deal. And, since these technological products make our work and personal lives more productive, efficient, and financially profitable, it makes it incredibly difficult for people to say no to their dangers. I know that whenever I talk to my health-conscious friends and clients about the importance of eating organic food, avoiding chemicals, and drinking clean water, they all agree with me. Yet, when I mention to them the importance of avoiding excessive electromagnetic radiation as part of maintaining wellness, they look at me sideways or debate about how we need Wi-Fi and smartphones to survive in today's world. But electromagnetic radiation has been linked to cancer, autoimmune, and many other diseases. It can be just as dangerous as contaminated water, GMO foods, or even infection. Personally, I believe this issue to be very important, and I have decided to devote this entire segment to this topic. And I'm very pleased to announce that I'm very fortunate to have a special guest in the studio today with me, Camilla Rees, who happens to be the leading expert in this field. She is also the founder of electromagnetichealth.org, and she has written and published a book on the subject. She also founded Campaign for Radiation-Free Schools on Facebook, and she and a small team of other health advocates around the globe co-founded the International EMF Alliance, an alliance of over 85 groups worldwide working to bring awareness to this important public health issue. Good evening, Camilla.
Hello, Sonia. I'm happy to be here.
Well, thank you so much for joining me this evening. I feel so very fortunate that you happened to be visiting Ely for a few weeks and that we were able to connect. As I mentioned earlier, personally, I felt this to be a very important issue for a very long time. As a society, we haven't been exposed to high levels of electromagnetic radiation for a long enough period of time to determine just how severe the long-term effects will be. However, there has been compelling evidence and research studies that support my concern as well as many others in the healthcare community in regards to EMR. Now, I understand that you also became very interested in this subject for personal reasons.
Yeah, actually, at the time, I was focused on our healthcare system and beginning a book about healthcare reform. And one of the main themes was that our healthcare system doesn't get to the root of people's chronic health problems and they treat symptomatically on the surface. And lo and behold, there I was, and I started getting symptoms of, I didn't know what it was. I was getting dizzy and insomnia and irregular heartbeats and rashes and vision changes and all kinds of strange things were starting to happen. I was very fatigued. And lo and behold, it turned out that it was from somebody's router in the apartment next to mine. New neighbors had moved in, and they put a router right on the other side of the wall from my pillow. Mm-hmm. So after several months of being exposed to this kind of radiation for hours and hours and hours, it really had a significant impact on my brain. I never would have imagined it. I always assumed, like everybody else, that cell phones and Wi-Fi and all these new wireless-based technologies were safe. We just make that assumption that somebody's checked, but in fact, there was never any pre-market health testing on this, and now that it's a trillion-dollar industry, we're finding out that there really are serious biological effects.
Yeah, and I think the biggest problem is really that it is invisible. We have really no idea, you know, the danger that is associated with this. Before Camilla will explain to us how electromagnetic radiation can negatively affect our health, let's take a short break with some music from today's feature CD by Liza Gilkison. And Camilla and I will be back in a few minutes.
My father made a pretty damn good living playing music on the beauty way. He's gonna die with some money in his pocket. Wish I could do the same today, little darling. Wish I could do the same today. Doe-eyed kid and a little transistor tuned into Wolfman Jack. I picked up a guitar, heard the sirens whisper, and I never looked back, little darling, and I never looked back. I worked the clubs along the sangrated crystals, polished the in the rug. By the time I hit LA, I was hotter than a pistol. But you never had enough, little darling. You never really had enough. I felt the lights on the big, big stages, fire burning in my soul. I've had those nights when my guitar rages, but it's not something.
Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Today's topic is the many dangers to our health by the exposure to electromagnetic radiation, which includes the effects of technologies that are emitting radio frequencies, radiation such as cell phones, cordless phones, microwaves, and Wi-Fi networks in your home and office. When we add all sources of exposure together, the potential effects become quite staggering. And the truth is that the industry and our regulating agencies and government are simply choosing not to look at the compelling research that these technologies present real danger to our health. My special guest in the studio with me, Camilla Rees, who is the leading expert and founder of electromagnetichealth.org and the author of a book on the subject titled Public Health SOS, The Shadow Side of the Wireless Revolution. We are fortunate to have her present today to outline some of the compelling findings and research on this subject, and she will also give us guidelines on how to protect ourselves and avoid exposure. Camilla, thanks so much for being here with me.
Great to be here.
Could you please share with my listeners some of your most compelling findings on this subject through your many years of research and explain why and how electromagnetic radiation affects our health?
Mm-hmm. The way that I would think about it are in terms of acute symptoms and long-term and potentially very long-term issues for society as a whole through DNA. But the acute issues, which are termed electrohypersensitivity symptoms, include fatigue, difficulty concentrating, disrupted sleep, heart irregularities. There are about 25 or so symptoms that could be attributed to anything, but that all fall underneath the umbrella of electrosensitivity. People respond differently. So they can be very disruptive to the point where today there are people who can't function in offices because of the Wi-Fi, because their brain simply doesn't work well. It's mm-hmm. not focused.
It's almost like brain fog.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And also it's fragmenting and it's disorienting. And of course, everyone knows that disrupted sleep, you know, doesn't mm-hmm. make you perform very well the next day because you're tired. One of the best things that people can do if you have insomnia is to give it a try and just turn off the router at night, or in the good weather, turn off the fuse box and see if you notice a difference. But anyway, the chronic effects, there are many studies linking radio frequency radiation from cell towers to cancer. And the closer you live to a cell tower, the greater the incidence of cancer. There have been studies all around the world, one recently in Belo Horizonte, Brazil, another one in a movie called Full Signal, which everybody should go download free from YouTube. It's called Full Signal, and it's a fabulous one-hour documentary on the subject. And in that documentary is a town in Israel called Esifia, where suddenly, after putting up all of these new, for the first time, cell towers along a ridgeline, the cancer rates went up dramatically. So somebody went around and analyzed the data based on where people physically lived, and they found out that the cancer incidences in almost every case, with a few exceptions, were right around each one of those towers. So there are many, many studies from around the globe documenting this. There's several hundred times increased risk of cancer for men, and as much as 600 times or percentage increased risk for women around cell towers.
Yeah, that's so pretty significant. Really.
Yeah, so there's a tower issue, which is something people can't easily do something about. Mm-hmm. But then there's the personal use of cell phones and things like that. And the evidence is really mounting on the risk from cell phones. We know that there are risk of glioma, brain tumors, mm-hmm. Meningioma, acoustic neuroma, leukemia. There isn't any epidemiological evidence yet about risk connection with breast cancer, but there are cell studies showing that the chemotherapy agent tamoxifen is actually inhibited from its functioning in the case of mm-hmm. electromagnetic fields. So we need to think about the societal things. What are we putting in our landscape, in our environment? What's it doing to us, to the ecosystem? What we're doing in our homes, which is what we can easily control by, you know, not having these kinds of wire your computer. Don't put it, make it wireless.
Right.
If you don't need mm-hmm. it. Don't put a laptop on your lap, as odd as that sounds. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's got batteries underneath it. That's another kind of electromagnetic field. Mm-hmm. And perhaps the most important issue of all are the very long-term consequences for society from all of this, in the sense that we are significantly damaging our DNA, that fertility science is just growing, and it's so clear
really?
That cell phone use impacts male sperm count and viability, and also fetuses.
And so especially, I would think children are at a much higher risk, therefore, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We know that children are at much higher risk from cell phone exposure. Their brains are their skulls are thinner. Their immune system is developing. Mm-hmm. The radiation from the cell phone penetrates almost 3/4 of the way through the brain from the ear in the case of a child, whereas it doesn't mm-hmm. go anywhere near that far in an adult. So what it's accessing in the case of a child is a deeper part of the brain where the more deadly tumors can grow.
Sure, can grow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are about 12 countries around the world today that have warnings out there warning people to not have children use cell phones.
Yeah. And yeah. I would think even pregnant women, you know, probably the same thing.
Absolutely.
Much.
Actually, yeah. And not only pregnant women, but women wanting to conceive. Women and men wanting to conceive should not be near this kind of radiation.
Sure. Yeah. The studies are pretty compelling. I mean, from what you told me, even now, I mean, I would definitely, you know, be very careful.
There's a recent study that came out on Monday. It's the second version of the Bioinitiative Report, which first came out in 2008 as a review of all the science showing the biological effects from the non-heating kinds of radiation, in other words, from Wi-Fi and cell phones, that sort of stuff, that historically people have said, oh, there's no harm. And our standards are based on the concept that, well, there couldn't be harm if it's not hot enough to heat your tissue. But it turns out there are thousands of studies showing biological effects and health effects linked to those biological effects at non-thermal levels of exposure. So the Bioinitiative Report synthesized that. They've just come out this Monday with another version of that. It can be accessed at bioinitiative.org. And in it, in their press release, there was a doctor, Martha Herbert, from Harvard Medical School, who was discussing the risks for pregnant women and autism. And there is early indications this may be an explaining factor of the incredible epidemic of autism in our society, which we are, Dr. Klinghart in Seattle has projected that in 15 years, every child will be somewhere on the spectrum based on the rate of growth in this condition that we've seen over the past 10 years. So it's now about one in 50, I think.
Wow.
So Martha Herbert said in this announcement that anyone who's pregnant, wanting to conceive, ought to not
pretty
be around this kind of radiation.
Yeah, I would think so. And we also have to remember, you know, that we have to consider that our body is fundamentally electromagnetic and therefore vulnerable to outside sources or of artificial electromagnetic fields, like the brain, heart, and the nervous system, I guess, are the most electromagnetic. But also every single cell has an electrical charge, and that's how the cells communicate.
Absolutely.
So it makes really absolute sense, you know, to stay away from those kind of devices as much as we can.
That's right. We don't really think of ourselves as electrical. We think of ourselves as these hard substances. You know, like we have an arm and a leg.
Exactly.
But in fact, absolutely everything in our body is functioning. on the electrical signals. And any kind of outside man-made frequencies that are disrupting that natural communication process isn't going to be good.
Yeah, that's right. Well, thank you so much, Camilla. Now let's take a short break with more music from today's feature CD by Eliza Gilkison. And Camilla and I will be back shortly with more important information on today's topic of electromagnetic radiation exposure.
Fades and finally falls.
And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. If you just happen to tune in now, today's topic is the danger of electromagnetic radiation, and I have the pleasure of having an expert in this field in the studio with me, Camilla Rees. She is the leading expert and founder of electromagnetichealth.org and author of a book on this subject. She also founded Campaign for Radiation-Free Schools on Facebook, and she's also the co-founder of the International EMF Alliance, an alliance of over 85 groups worldwide working to bring awareness to this important public health issue. Camilla outlined a significant amount of studies showing the biological effects of electromagnetic fields and radio frequencies which are being emitted by various technology such as cell phones, computers, Wi-Fi, and cordless phones. However, the overall risk is also dependent on other sources of EMF such as the synergistic effect from geopathic earth radiation, electronic appliances, and household wiring. By exposing ourselves to excessive levels of EMR, we are conducting one of the greatest human experiments upon our health ever. While studies are already proving that electromagnetic radiation damages cells, causes cancer, and plays a role in many diseases, we really have no idea about the full impact of its effect upon the body. A recent study from Sweden is particularly frightening, suggesting that if you started using a cell phone as a teen, you have a 5 times greater risk of brain cancer than those who started as an adult. There was also a study showing that exposure to high-frequency transients on electrical wiring or so-called dirty electricity can greatly affect our health. Camilla, can you explain to my listeners the term dirty electricity and where it comes from?
Dirty electricity is not something that's very well understood in common society, but it's high-frequency transients that get onto the electrical wiring. So it's essentially noise on the 60 hertz cycle for the electric field, and it gets there from any kind of switching between types of current in your appliances, dimmer switches. Compact fluorescent lights are one of the worst, and in our book, Public Health SOS, there's a picture that shows you the extent of the dirty electricity with a regular incandescent bulb, you know, the old-fashioned kind, compared to the new Curly-Q compact fluorescent bulbs, and the dirty electricity is very, very significant, as it is from dimmer switches, as it is from solar panels, unless you put a filter on your house.
Interesting.
And you can get those filters at emfsafetystore.com. Perhaps, Sonia, eventually you'll carry them here in the store, too.
Mm-hmm.
But dirty electricity is linked to many different kinds of conditions. There was a study in a school in San Diego by a Dr. Sam Millam that showed that there was a very high incident of cancer among the teachers, and they went back and looked at the records, and the rooms that the teachers taught in that had dirty electricity were correlated directly with the high cancer incidences. So it's just, think of it as just an intermediate frequency. It's not as low frequency as electricity, and it's not as high frequency as radio or as microwaves, which are even higher than that, which are part of the radio frequency band. They're all somewhere along the spectrum in terms of the frequency of the waves. And what is important to know is that they all have biological effects. It all have similar biological effects, whether it's the electricity, regular old electricity they're finding. It may have been the very first wave of electromagnetic pollution without our even knowing it. And a very interesting study also done by Dr. Millam showed that in the early part of the 1900s, every community wasn't electrified, and it wasn't electrified until 1956 across the board in the U.S. And so there's all this data of incidence of mortality and death and illness that all the states collected. So he went back and he looked at it and said, people have always assumed that when people moved in from the country and the farms into the city, that there was a higher incidence of disease because of the different lifestyle. People weren't getting as much exercise. They weren't didn't have the close communities. So, you know, more infection. All kinds of issues. It was assumed it was lifestyle, that there was higher incidence of heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and suicide. But in fact, what Dr. Millam did when he went looked back at the data, he found those same higher incidences of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and suicide were in the electrified urban areas and the electrified rural areas, but they were not in the non-electrified rural areas. So it's really, this was just a couple years ago this came out, very important implications. And so here we are, we've added, you know, radio and television and now microwave towers, and now we're putting radiation emitting smart meters on homes. We're just bathing ourselves
in all
these different kinds of frequencies without really stopping to say, well, what's it doing to our health? What's it doing to our ability to focus and pay attention and to learn? What's it doing to our ability to interrelate with other people if we're constantly being disrupted in this way? I mean, children today, they just take it as a given. They don't even know what it's like to be EMF free, what their brain would be like, how they would feel.
Like you said, you know, really during the past 100 years, we have methodically filled in the electromagnetic spectrum far beyond what occurs in nature, and we will have to deal with the growing hazards of the pollution. Now, I personally know that in some Western European countries, such as Switzerland, Austria, Germany, and Denmark, electromagnetic pollution is more widely recognized and accepted as a health hazard, and safety standards for EMR exposure are much stricter in these countries. Even Russia and China have stricter standards for EMR exposure than the United States does. The problem has gotten actually bad enough that France, for example, has created an EMF refugee zone where those who are hypersensitive now live in trailers, doing everything they can to protect themselves in order to be able to function normally. And it's interesting, too, that France has actually made it illegal to market cell phones to children and will not allow use of cell phones in public schools. The European Parliament officially recommends wireless be removed from schools, daycare, and hospitals. Unfortunately, it's not very likely that the U.S. government will step up and do the right thing to protect our health and the health of our children and grandchildren, because the economic interests are so very much tied to this industry at this point. And therefore, it's up to us. So let's talk about strategies that can help reduce our exposure and protect our health against the constant onslaught of radiation. I also want to point out that electromagnetic radiation exposures have a sensitizing effect, so we will become more and more sensitive over time, and therefore, the more we can do to limit exposure, the better in the long run. Luckily, we have Camilla Rees, our expert here, to give us recommendations on how to reduce our exposure and protect our health against electromagnetic radiation. So let's find out from Camilla on how we can minimize the risks.
Mm-hmm. So I would think about it this way. You've got to think about it in terms of what can you do in your bedroom, your home.
Yeah, I would think the bedroom is probably the most important area.
Your bedroom, the home, the schools in your community, the offices in your community, and then once you're taking the steps that can be taken just to be well, then I encourage everyone to get involved and start participating in the democratic process. And also, by the way, there is a bill in Congress that was initiated by Representative Kucinich, Dennis Kucinich from Ohio recently, and has many co-sponsors, and they're always looking for more sponsors. And I encourage you to call your representatives in Congress and ask them to co-sign the cell phone bill that Kucinich has put forward. But starting in the bedroom, you want to make sure that your sleeping environment is totally electromagnetic field free. That means no computers on, no cell phone by the side of your bed, no charging station for a cell phone in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, you also want to sleep with, ideally, a grounding mat, which will ground you from the effects of the electric fields, if there are any electrical issues.
Currents.
And sleeping with a grounding mat, which hopefully Sonia will also carry at Evergreen Cottage, is extraordinarily helpful to negate that effect, which can make you a little more resilient to the Wi-Fi and those other effects.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then you also have to know what's happening in your neighborhood, and is anything coming in through the window into your bedroom while you're sleeping? You see, when you're sleeping, your body needs to rest and repair, so it's extremely important that you look to make sure it's really pristine. So you can go to antennasearch.com and put in your address, and you will find where the antennas are in your neighborhood. And also, you can go down to Evergreen Cottage, and they will have meters that you can actually go and check the radiation levels in your home to see if there's anything coming in through the windows. And if there is, there are just beautiful, lightweight, white, sheer cotton, linen-like, really, fabrics that you can buy to line curtains with or put up as curtains. There are also films that you can get to put on the glass, which is where a lot of the radiation comes through. If you live near a tower, that you just stick onto the glass that block it out, shield it, reflect it the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And then in worst case scenarios, there are paints. There are reflective paints that one can get at emfsafetystore.com, and they are black. They're carbon. And you paint over them whatever color you want the room to be, but it just completely shields out the radiation. You can use the paint inside your bedroom. You can also use it on the outside of the house. as another option.
Mm-hmm.
So there are practical things, but starting with your initial behavior, like how do you hold a cell phone against your head? Or do you hold it against your head, or do you put it on a speakerphone, or do you use it with an earpiece?
Mm-hmm.
Not a wireless earpiece, because of course that brings an additional layer of radiation. But you know, are you protecting your brain? And also, even if you may not have it at your ear, are you holding it in your hand down by your liver or your kidneys? Or, you know,
mm-hmm.
You have to really keep it away from the body. Even the manuals themselves tell you that to meet the safety standards as they are right now, which are not very adequate at all to begin with, but even to meet
yeah.
those standards, you have to keep the phone somewhere between a half an inch and an inch away from your ear. But nobody knows that. Everybody's
yeah,
putting the phone
exactly.
up against their
mm-hmm.
ear. Those are things that you can do in terms of your own
mm-hmm.
lifestyle. Don't put a laptop on your lap. Never, ever do that. Don't lounge on the couch with it. You're just asking for trouble. And hardwire everything. Get an Ethernet cord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, plug it in. Decide that, you know, you want to be able to use the computer in a few stations.
Right.
Stations in your mm-hmm. house, where are those going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And just make it that way.
It's
not worth it to take the,
exactly.
the risk otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are some excellent recommendations, Camilla. Most of them are easy enough to follow. And it sounds like there's a lot of different devices out there that also will help with that. So let's take another short break with some music from today's feature CD by Eliza Gilkinson. I hope you will enjoy this song. And Camilla and I will be back shortly with more information for you on the subject of electromagnetic radiation exposure and how to protect ourselves.
I'll go down to the coast for a while. Find a little cabin by the sea. I think I need to be alone for a while. Find out whatever became of me. Did you ever think that it would be like this? You pay for love, yeah, the price you pay for everything, yeah. I think I'll go out for a little drive. I'll take the long way home. Probably more than just a little high. I need some time to be alone. I'm gonna find out what it means to me. I'd give it all up for. Go down to the sea for a while. Kick my shoes off in the sand. I don't know what I'm gonna be for a while. Don't wanna try to understand. Did you ever think that it would feel like this? Yeah. Oh.
And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Today's topic is the many dangers of electromagnetic radiation exposure. Fortunately, many in the health community are sounding the alarm, and we are fortunate to have people like our studio guest, Camilla Rees, who stepped up research efforts to shed light on the long-term effects of the technological wonders we have become reliant upon in all aspects of our lives. As Camilla pointed out, many recent studies showing that electromagnetic pollution has a negative effect upon us, both generally and in particular applications such as the use of cell phones and other personal electronic devices. Camilla also gave us very good recommendations on how to limit exposure, especially in our sleeping area, and how to safeguard ourselves and our loved ones from the potential dangers. Camilla, I know we talked about some of the essential strategies for reducing electromagnetic pollution in our home and office. Can you also make suggestions in terms of particular devices that are available to the consumer?
Well, it's actually a mistake to think that any kind of little device is going to make you safe from a cell phone. People sell these little stickers and things that they put on the phone, and it's wishful thinking, and there's no research on it, and it may be that in some of the cases it is having some effect on the subtle energy level, but there is no evidence that it's not doing the damage to DNA that we know to otherwise be happening. So the most important thing is your behavior and the duration of your use of these kinds of things, either it's a phone or being around Wi-Fi. You know, your body needs to stop and rebalance. So it's not to say that, you know, if you need to go to a conference or into an office and there's Wi-Fi, you know, you might just be fine, but it's the chronic nature of that exposure and then not being able to rebalance if you're in a Wi-Fi at the office, at the home, and you're, you know. So we need to really check how much time we're spending exposed and consciously take steps to go to environments that are not exposed, such as the beautiful, pristine wilderness that you have up here in Ely. You all are so fortunate that you have these incredible lakes and places that don't have cell towers where your body can go back to being rebalanced. And I believe that Ely is in this whole area can become a refuge for all the other people that whose bodies have gotten whacked out from constant, nonstop exposure where they don't have a downtime. You know, they don't have a time out from the Wi-Fi. And so you're very, very fortunate here. And you also really want to be careful that they don't put more towers up because there are wildlife effects too, which we should talk about as well.
Exactly, the ecosystem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So your behavior is the most important thing. There's no device other than the ones that I've mentioned where you can get the paints and the shielding fabrics and that sort of a thing. And you want to also really look out for your children, you know, in schools. And we have a Facebook page called Campaign for Radiation-Free Schools where we post what's happening, what initiatives schools are taking around the globe on this subject. Now, I did happen to do a little check on the schools in Ely because through that database called antennasearch.com, you can put in the address of all the schools and you can find out what the risks are. There's a report that my co-author Magda Havas, who's a professor at Trent University in Canada, published about 2 years ago called the BRAG Antenna Ranking of Schools Report, BRAG, stands for Black, Red, Amber, and Green. And it's a methodology where she ranked schools in all the state capitals and also teaches you how to do it in Ely or anywhere else by those colors based on, you know, risk. How close is the closest cell tower to the school? How many towers or antennas are there within a quarter mile, which is about five blocks, which is where the research is showing definite increases of both electrosensitivity symptoms and cancer clusters. And then because children are more vulnerable, another measure, how many are within 0.6 of a mile or about a kilometer from the school. So based on this analysis of the four schools that we found in Ely, they're not in the black, they're not in the worst zone, but they're in the red zone. And so somebody in the community wants to should take a look at that, go take measurements and see if the schools don't need some curtains to shield out the radiation or paints or whatever.
Right, exactly. That would be important.
Yeah, and the outside, the external irradiation is one thing, but then also what are the schools doing internally? Are they putting Wi-Fi in? And I mean, it is interesting to note that around the globe, people are taking Wi-Fi out of schools. In India, the state of Rajasthan in India, which is the largest state in India, it's in the northwest part of India, it's the largest state by geography, the head, the top court there, ruled in August to remove, to turn off cell towers anywhere near schools, hospitals, and jails. And they demanded it be done in 2 weeks' time. So in 2 weeks' time, in early September, the 200 cell towers went off near schools. And there were about another 500 that were going to be taken off near hospitals and jails. And then the cell phone industry filed a suit, claimed this wasn't right and wasn't fair and what. And then the Supreme Court ruled again. And they held firm that based on the health grounds, they're holding firm on this. And so there are no cell towers on near schools. And that's the kind of courage that we need see here. Mm-hmm. Don't just be a sheep and follow the crowd and say, oh, well, it couldn't be harmful for us. If it was, our government would have done something to protect us. Well, it is harmful. Our government's known since the 1930s. And there have even been Senate hearings on the effects of this type of radiation on the brain in 1977, 35 years before now, long before there was even a cell phone industry. So it's not anything
that's
new.
Significant.
They've just allowed this industry to proliferate. Yep. It's now lining their pockets as our federal government with to collect all these taxes. And it's a major driving force in our economy right now. So they're not going to want to do anything to touch this. But we as citizens have to take a stand.
That's right. I think that perhaps the most important thing to do is to help spread awareness about this ever-increasing problem. And like Camilla said, you know, we can't rely on the government to do the right thing to protect our health without a lot of pressure from the public, because power companies have successfully beaten back attempts to modify exposure standards. And the cell phone industry, which has funded at least 87% of the research on this subject, has effectively resisted regulation. Therefore, it's really up to us to make positive changes happen. Camilla, could you give our listeners some suggestions on how they can get actively involved, spread awareness about this serious problem, and get the concerns out and heard?
Well, the first thing I would do is to get educated. And the way you can do that is the book that Magda Havas and I wrote, Professor Havas from Trent University, that Sonia's going to be carrying at Evergreen Cottage. It's called Public Health SOS, The Shadow Side of the Wireless Revolution. It's small, it's easily absorbable, it's written for the consumer, it answers a lot of questions. And that's sort of like the foundational primer. Then I would also point you to our website, electromagnetichealth.org, where we've done interviews with all kinds of scientists and physicians around the world talking about this subject. There was also a forum that we put on at the Commonwealth Club of California about 2 years ago. It was the largest forum ever, bringing together scientists and others on this topic. And all of the videos from that Commonwealth Club event, and by the way, the Commonwealth Club is the largest public affairs forum in America, all of that video is available on Electromagnetic Health or on Vimeo. So get yourself educated, number one, and then just start bringing this education to schools, to employers, to state and local governments. Watch out and don't let them put a radiating smart meter on your home if they come around looking to replace utility meter. Say you're perfectly happy with your old analog meter, no thank you. Protect it, because there are people now fighting in 18 states against these meters because people are getting sick. And there are 56 towns in California that have a moratorium on them. Their grandmothers protesting in the street, getting arrested. And I've never in my life actually seen this kind of grassroots rebellion brewing, like in the case of the smart meters. And I know that there are activists on this down in the Minneapolis area, too. So you've got to look out for your own safety.
Exactly.
Don't expect that they're safe, and just use your common sense.
And definitely maybe have someone come and measure emission levels in homes and offices would important.
Absolutely. In fact, I would say that anyone who has a chronic illness or a mysterious illness that hasn't gone away, some kind of problem, insomnia, headaches, fatigue, if you had a problem that you haven't been able to resolve, or if you're a doctor that has patients that haven't gotten well, get Sonia and Tom from Evergreen Cottage to come in with the meters and figure out if there's an EMF problem. You know, it might take an hour or two to really size it up, and it may be as simple as moving your portable phone away from your bed or who knows what, but they are great detectives and come into your house and help to resolve this, see if there is this factor going on. It's one of the most important root causes of illness in our society today that's totally overlooked.
Yes, right, I agree. And I guess, Camilla, on your website, you can also sign a petition. I understand?
Yes, we have a petition to Congress on electromagnetichealth.org that has now been signed by people in 25 countries in the world, even. They're signing the petition
great.
From other countries.
Yeah, that's
and,
great.
Yeah, so and we have people from every state in America who signed it. We want to get millions of people signing it. So please, it's calling for reversal of Section 704 of the Telecom Act of 1996, which was a provision tucked into this act at the very last minute by lobbyists for the telecom industry that prevents state and local governments from limiting the proliferation of wireless on health or environmental grounds. That means that your local government and your state governments and your federal government, they cannot protect you if you're claiming that their health or environmental issues. And this is absurd.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like the biggest power grab since
right.
the time of the railroads.
Mm-hmm.
And we must reverse that. And we're calling for a change in the exposure guidelines so that the exposure guidelines that today are only based on heating effects of the radiation are changed so that they also include the non-heating effects that are
mm-hmm.
well known, and a good DNA assessment of what the radiation is doing. It's very simple to do, and it can be done for all kinds of fields. And then we're calling for accommodation for people who are disabled by this kind of radiation. Right now, there are about 3% of society are severely impaired by this radiation, such that they can't function, they can't go work in a job that has Wi-Fi, they can't think straight. Some of them have to go live in the woods in cars. I've met some of these people, and I've also met one girl from Santa Fe who was so distraught over her situation, she committed suicide. It's creating a fringe group
mm-hmm.
in America and all around the world that need to be seen and need to be accommodated. Other countries are starting to take steps in this direction. In Sweden, for example, they have rest homes where somebody who's been overburdened by excessive electromagnetic fields can go to rebalance, and the government pays for this.
Wow.
Now, I think Ely, Minnesota could be
the perfect place
where people
actually.
Could come
yes,
to repair.
Definitely.
Yeah. And rest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, we need action. We need schools and employers and everyone to become more conscious of this issue and to wake up really before
That's
it's
right.
too late. Because
exactly.
it's not just our current symptoms and, you know, acute problems, or even that it might be creating
mm-hmm.
a long-term health issue for you. There's an issue here for society.
That's right.
And
yes.
the DNA effects.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time here. Thank you so very much, Camilla, for sharing such important information from your many years of research in electromagnetic pollution. I'm ever so grateful to have met you, and I will promise you to do my part to spread the word and increase awareness on this subject. I already checked out your wonderful website, and I particularly like the quote by Martin Luther King Jr., which says, quote, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter," unquote. And I absolutely want to make sure that everybody, you know, gets involved. And your website has a wealth of information on this subject. It's definitely time to get actively involved, and I strongly encourage all my listeners to do just that. Also, if you're interested in reading Camilla's book, I will have it available for you at the Evergreen Cottage. And please don't forget to check out her website, electromagnetichealth.org, for more information and videos on this important public health issue. And make sure to share as much information as you can with your friends and family to help spread awareness. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you will join me again next Wednesday for another edition of the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. For a list of my services, please visit my website at elywellness.com. Thanks again for listening, and remember, let food be your medicine.